Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection, and I'm Alan Chartok. Joining this week is Ed Cox, an old friend, chairman of the New York State Republican Party, a guy who speaks his mind, and we love that. Welcome, Ed.
Alan, good to be with you again.
Okay, so I'm going to start and ask you what could be the boring question, but maybe isn't. The governor gave a State of the State address, and then he rolled out his budget, and you're the loyal opposition. What'd you make of it?
Smoke and mirrors and gimmicks. If you take a look at E.J. McMahon's blog, and he knows the budgets. He was the chief staffer on the Ways and Means Committee in the Assembly for the minority back under Rapier and followed budgets since then. The normal line that you look at, which is the bottom line, which extrapolates from the actual facts and figures in the budget, for the first time ever, the line that everyone looks at, the bottom line, was eliminated. They just took it right out, and instead they put in a hypothetical line that assumes a 2% increase only in spending. And on a hypothetical basis, in the year, fiscal year 2018, they show a surplus of, I think it's $2 billion. Actually, the figures show it would be a deficit of $3 billion. So how are you going to do the tax cuts? It's not in this year, it's in the out years that the real impact of the tax cuts, when, of course, the legislature can change it. This is smoke and mirrors and gimmicks for an election year, which it just happens to be for the governor.
And you really think he, because he would call people like you and sometimes me and others cynical, and, you know, we don't believe him in some things. I mean, for example, there's a real interesting fight going on between him and clearly the mayor of New York City, de Blasio, and it's over pre-K. What do you make of that whole thing?
You know, Alan, I've got a little bit of a background in education going back to 1985.
Indeed you do.
And the Citizens Budget Commission, which I'm a trustee, put out a really superb analysis of pre-K education, longitudinal studies that have been done with Head Starts and the Abbott program in New Jersey, et cetera. And if you use their numbers, doing universal pre-K, that is really a worthwhile program that will have a long-term impact on the children involved and not just be a daycare, expensive daycare program. It will cost the state $1.5 billion a year just for four-year-old pre-K, not three-year-old pre-K, universal pre-K. And that's not what is in the budget. That is not what de Blasio is projecting per student in New York City. This is just a political football and mistake. De Blasio wanted to get the nomination of his party in New York City. That means he had to go after the far left of his party that shows up in primaries to vote. And so he wanted to raise taxes on the wealthy. That was a attractive campaign slogan with respect to the people who vote in primaries in the Democratic primary in New York City. But he needed a reason to raise taxes on the rich. So he came up pre-K, universal pre-K in New York City. That's a good idea. But he didn't examine what it costs. And by what his estimates, by what he's going to put in it, $500 million, it's about $3,000, $4,000 per student. If you look at the Citizens Budget Commission study, you need to have $12,000 per student. That's the Abbott program that's actually worked in New Jersey to have a really effective pre-K program. Then the governor picks it up without really examining the underlying, and he's got his program just because he doesn't want to raise taxes. Well, de Blasio wants to raise taxes. This is a program that's not been well examined, has not been well thought out. It's going to have a lot of blowback on it for both the governor and de Blasio.
So you have a lot of, well, you have some rich friends, don't you?
And some very poor friends, too. We have a lot of friends.
But, you know, you hear the word Republican and you think, well-heeled. Is that an unfair hit? Yeah.
Well, you know, the main support for the Democratic Party, if you take a look at it, as you get into wealthier class of people, they tend to be Democrats, not Republicans. The real Republican base is a person who has finished high school and maybe a year or two of community college. That's the Republican base.
So how come
it's of the state, the Republican base.
So how come every time there's something like, you know, raising taxes, that, you know, the Republican blowback is almost immediate? You know, we don't want to raise taxes if it isn't for the fact that the party is representative of people with a lot of money.
Because this is the highest tax state in the United States. And over the last 20 years, according to ISS records, it's taken through the census, 1 million taxpayers have left New York State, taking with them an adjusted gross income of about $90 billion. On an annual adjusted gross income of all individuals in the state of about $400-500 billion. And during this period of time, the population in New York State has gone up by 1.1 million. You do the math, that means about 2.1 million non-taxpayers have moved into the state and 1 million taxpayers have moved out. You just can't keep going along that way. And that's because we are the highest tax state in the United States. Cuomo understands this. He understands that people in New York State are groaning under a heavy, heavy tax burden. And that's why in election year, he's all for cutting taxes. It's just that his cutting taxes is all smoke and mirrors. It's all the out years when, of course, the tax cuts will be reversed by the inevitable deficits.
You're in charge, of course, of the as the state chairman, and I love talking to you about this stuff. You know, it's getting close to the gubernatorial election. Trump is coming along, making a lot of noise. He might run, but my crystal ball says no way. He's not going to do that because the polls are showing he get slammed. But he, you know, he gets a lot of publicity, you know, for doing it out there. And you got a rising star, Astorino, down in Westchester County. And the most recent polls are showing him doing quite badly against Cuomo. Cuomo's got, what, $39 million, something like that, in the bank?
33
million.
33 million.
What do you do about it? I mean, you're the chairman, but that's got to give you Excedrin headache number three.
No, it really doesn't. If you just saw the Moody's report that came out, that the sales taxes have been slumping upstate, which is an indication that the economy is slowing down. And meanwhile, Cuomo, in all the smoke and mirrors, he said at the end of the budget, New York's open for business. New York's tax-free. And that's mostly on taxpayer-funded advertising about New York, obviously about himself and what a success New York is. But the people in New York, in the recent Siena poll, 70% of them are very queasy about the economy. They don't like directions going, and they don't think by a plurality that Cuomo's done much for it. And in the end, as James Carville famously said, it's about the economy, stupid. And Rob Astorino and also Donald Trump just focused on that like a laser.
Yeah, but how come they're not doing better in the polls?
They're just getting started.
Okay, so it's too early.
He's only been out there for about Rob's only been out there for about 8 weeks. And
you think he'll run?
Donald for about 3 weeks.
Oh, Trump.
I do believe if I follow exactly from when we got started this, we were going down to Somos El Futuro to show the flag down there. Frankly, we're very well received, and Rob decided he'd come down and join us down there. Of course, he speaks Spanish. He wowed all those Democrats, and we had dinner. I have just seen him move from that each step of the way, doing, putting together a very serious campaign.
Well, there are those people, Ed Cox, who think that you should run for governor. You have political bona fides. You're Richard Nixon's son-in-law. You know, you have a lot going for you. You think you'll do that?
Well, I'm chairman of the party, and my job, especially in this year, where their statewide offices are up for grabs. The governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and controller. My job is to give a platform to people like Donald Trump and Rob Astorino to get into the race effectively, to go through our nomination process, to understand it. We support both of them in it, giving them advice what they should do, what help they need, just show their put their best foot forward. And then we have our convention, a designating convention in mid-May. Different from the national process.
Yeah. No.
And then we go forward from there. That's my job.
I get it. But if neither of those guys does it, and, you know, people don't want to lose big.
I would differ with that. You have.
Donald Trump is not going to run for governor. He'd get killed in that campaign. Well, and why would he do it?
he's got celebrity. And
yeah,
money.
Yeah. So he runs off his mouth, and he gets a lot of people to pay attention to him, but then
as for Robert, and I think, by the way, Donald Trump is very serious this time about running at age 67, and he understands the huge problems as a businessman, the huge problems in New York State, and he really wants to do something to solve those problems. Rob Astorino, he has just got reelected in 2-1 Democratic Westchester County, which has one of the most diverse counties in the nation. He got 61% of the Hispanic vote, 25% of the African-American vote. And this is a very serious, good politician who Cuomo is frankly paranoid about. He does not want Rob Astorino.
How do you know that? How do you know
Rob Astorino's in the race?
How do you know that?
A lot of different reactions by people out there within the political class here in New York State. These things come around the horn. I know just as 4 years ago, he feared Steve Levy, who would have been a terrific candidate. This year, he knows Rob Astorino is actually a better politician than he is. Cuomo inherited his position to a certain extent. Rob Astorino has earned his every step of the way, getting elected in 2-1 Democratic Westchester County in 2009 in a huge upset, beating an incumbent, Andy Spano, despite being outspent, and then winning this year by 13 percentage points. And again, getting a really good turnout for him in the Hispanics and African-American communities. Really exceptional politician.
Let's spend a little time on campaign finance. The governor says he has 33 million in his account, and he says he's all for funding campaigns, but not till this next gubernatorial election's over, of course. I wonder whether you're for it. I mean, you know, you say that it's the Republican Party is not the rich party. That's the Democratic Party, you just sort of said. And so I'm wondering why you wouldn't be for it.
The matching funds campaign finance structure that is in New York City has been a failure in many ways. It's only provoked completely different form of corruption, sort of reverse bundling, where one individual can give money to a number of other individuals who then give that bundle to the candidate, and the people have gone to jail for that. You see Chris Malcolm Smith wanting to get into a Republican primary that he could never, never win, just so he could get the 6-1 matching funds, so he could use them for his own purposes as he used his other campaign of funds, personal purposes. You find there's crazy restrictions on the number of yard signs that you can put in Staten Island as opposed to Manhattan. Well, of course, you don't have yard signs in Manhattan, that campaign finance. And even the worst was the fact that de Blasio is mayor. He owes that to the campaign finance board, which eliminated almost arbitrarily from the primary competition in the last several weeks by deciding he wouldn't get matching funds, eliminated John Liu, who was the one other candidate who was feared most by Bill de Blasio. Why was he feared? Because he was to the left of de Blasio, would have taken votes away from him. And the campaign finance board, in their infinite wisdom, decided, Liu, we're not going to give you matching funds. And that enabled de Blasio to get 40.3 rather than 39%, with 39% would have been a runoff against Bill Thompson. And when Bill Thompson was contesting that 40.3, again, in their infinite wisdom, this anonymous group of five bureaucrats decided, we're not going to give you any funds in order to contest a runoff, that there should be a runoff. And so we don't think there should be a runoff.
Well, in all respect, and you know,
I don't think five bureaucrats should make that kind of a decision.
And you,
that's the system that Cuomo wants to put in place for New York State, using taxpayer funds to finance the matching funds.
You know how much respect I have for you. Personal respect, there's no question. I'd like to contest with you, but, you know, you're a very smart man. You know, but when you say, you know, it's been a miserable failure down there in New York, everything I've read is that it's been very successful. What's the dissonance here?
There's been no real examination of the faults in that system. And just as I laid them out for you.
Okay,
there,
fair enough.
They're no one, but all the Democrats are ignoring it. And the good government people are ignoring those faults because they just think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's not. The centers in the Moreland Commission pointed out, against relentless pressure not to dissent, by the way,
yep,
as they pointed out, with independent expenditures out there, the constraints of this kind of system really get kind of ridiculous.
Okay, let's go to something else, fracking. He didn't mention it, or the governor didn't mention that in the State of the State. You think that he's decided not to, too scared to touch it?
For good reason. How can you say New York's open for business when he has closed down by his moratorium the most innovative business in the United States, which is the development of our natural gas resources by horizontal drilling using new technology that also includes hydrofracking. More than 30 other states are doing it. The Obama administration has blessed it, but for purely political reasons, because he doesn't want to get attacked on this by people on the left or the right on this issue. He has said, in New York State, we're not going to do this business, which on the other side of the border in Pennsylvania has produced directly or indirectly 240,000 new jobs, according to the Department of Labor in Pennsylvania. And that's been supported by Democratic governors like Wendell in Pennsylvania or Hickenlooper in Colorado, as well as Republican governors.
But what if,
and
in
we're
fact,
not doing it here? New York State should be on the forefront of the...
But what if it's unhealthy? And there does seem to be some argumentation that you can't do it until you're sure, and that some of the things that have been coming out have not been proving that case.
The Obama administration, Obama's EPA, have...
What, is Obama your friend now?
Well, he's certainly a friend of natural gas and its development, which is making us energy independent for the first time ever. As you know, the first person to talk about energy independence was President Richard Nixon. This has been a goal of the United States for a long time, and this is about... This is about our balance of payments. Natural gas is a worldwide revolution that was started here in the United States by a bunch of entrepreneurs, worked on it for years, and suddenly it worked.
What if it kills people? What if, you know, you can light your water when it comes out of the tap, or, you know, your kid has to drink?
You know, that was one of the most spurious claims about it. Because in those areas, there has always been natural gas in and near the water. It just happens to be in the ground the way it is. And whether you were developing natural gas there or not, that was irrelevant. This was near the ground rather than a mile down where you have shale. And it was there before you had any development of the natural gas resource, and there it would be there afterwards, natural gas and tap water.
Ed Cox, talk to me about casino gambling. Is it a fix? I mean, what's going on?
You got to be kidding. Economic development, casinos for upstate New York. That's economic development. It's a regressive tax. It's a tax on the poor.
I think I agree with you. Go ahead.
Take a look at Atlantic City, which is having problems with it. I'm not sure that the casinos are necessarily going to be successful, nor are they good for the people and citizens of the state of New York, even though we do have a number of casinos and casinos at the moment. Adding more is not good. And the people, for instance, in New York, Democrats in New York City oppose having casinos in New York City because they know what it's going to do to the citizens of New York City. It's not going to be good for them.
But what do you tell to people in Ellenville or some of the great hotel places which have really closed up? What do you tell them, you know, that they should just go away or they have an opportunity here?
There may be some place, for instance, in Sullivan County in the Catskills where you got traditional resorts period, some kind of casino gambling may make sense in a place like that. But generally, to put them throughout the state, as has been adopted by the constitutional amendment, which, by the way, the language was atrociously fixed by the governor to make sure there was a pro vote for it. It was not honest language. Governor Cuomo was dishonest the way he drafted it. And they said, oh, this is all great for education. It's great for the people of New York State. It was contrary to what state law. He violated state law, by the way, he drafted it. And, of course, he got away with it because the challenge to it was weak. And it was late because the governor put it out contrary to law, too late for it to be challenged. So it's basically crammed to the people in New York the way it was done. They didn't have a chance to really vote on the reality of casino gambling and the problems that it can cause.
Let me ask you about politics a little bit. Obviously, one of your friends is the majority leader or the co-majority leader of the New York State Senate, Dean Skelos. He's had to make an alliance with the four dissident Democrats who came over to his side. And the governor has had his way in some cases with your leader, Skelos, like on the SAFE Act, the Gun Safe Act, which has proven to be extremely unpopular. Can you sort of, as a great political analyst, and you are, could you sort, and you are, no, you are, and sort of give us a précis of
what I'm an amateur compared to you, Ellen.
No, not at all. Now, you need to tell me, if you will, what that relationship is likely to be. I mean, what if they pick up, the Democrats pick up some more Senate seats, for example?
Well, the four independent Democrats are serious legislators. I just think that as part of the Democratic caucus, which was a circus, obviously, when it was in a majority.
True.
And with a lot of corruption going on within True. It, they just said, we're serious legislators. We're going to put ourselves together with another bunch of serious legislators, the Republicans, and work together with them. And on things like deregulation, where Senator Valesky and Senator Gallivan went around the state, they produced a superb report on all the things we need to do to in order to relieve the terrible burden of regulations on businesses here in New York State. We're the most regulated state economically in the United States. Another reason why businesses are leaving New York State. And the Democrat Valesky and the Republican Senator Gallivan, they produced a great report on it that I hope the Assembly will act on it, as well as the Senate and the governor. Although he didn't mention it, he should have highlighted it in his budget address or his State of the State. He didn't do it. It's a very important thing to get done. These are serious legislators working together in order to improve a lot of the people of New York State.
But some people have said that there's a tinge of racism here because the Democratic leadership, you know, was diverse. These four people got out, Democrats got out and made peace with the basically white Republican establishment. You know, do you think there's anything to that?
Who's ever saying that's playing a race card? Malcolm Smith had no problems joining the group, and he did.
He
for
did.
A while. He was a fifth Democrat as part of it.
But and frankly, course, he was indicted. Then he was indicted, and that was the end of that.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter.
But you can't have it both ways, Ed. Either he smelled or he didn't smell. You know what I mean?
That's got nothing to do with his politics. And frankly, he was a great supporter of charter schools, Malcolm Smith was.
He was.
I worked with him on it. Your son Jonas worked with him on charter schools. He was also serious about doing something to improve the business atmosphere in New York State. And that's why there was some feasibility to his idea of running as a
Republican
on the Republican line. And the only problem was he wasn't willing to give up the D next to his name, which made it ridiculous.
And he tried to buy his way in, according to the DA, right? I mean, he tried to use money.
My point is, on issues, he was on certain issues, he was a serious legislator, wanted to join a group of serious legislators.
Okay. So, but you really can't have it both ways, can you? I mean, you raised Malcolm Smith earlier in the interview as being, you know, the archetype of corrupt politician. And now you're arguing.
He was attracted. He was attracted by the honey of the matching funds in New York City. But from the point of view of charter schools, I found them to be very serious, bucking a lot of the establishment Democrats in doing it. And with respect to the business atmosphere in New York State, he has been a serious legislator.
Okay.
The fact that he was corruptible, that's another issue.
I got one last question, and you know how much I love having you with us, Ed Cox, and I do. And I love your answers. But, you know, my father-in-law ran a shoe store. Now, your father-in-law was president of the United States. What's that like? What's it like to have that around your neck?
Oh, my gosh. He was a great man, period.
Yeah.
I mean, when I started dating Trish in 1963, they just moved from California after he lost the governor's race there. He was a lawyer, a Wall Street lawyer, and frankly, I was much more interested in her, but I got to know him over time. He was just a lawyer, but he was a great man.
Did he look you over? I mean, did he look you over, you know, when you came? I only got a minute here, but did he look you over and, you know, have to approve you?
No doubt that he did, but I wasn't aware of it. And I didn't think much whether he was looking me over or not. I met Tricia while we were both seniors in high school. And
wow.
We had a wonderful time in New York City and dating after that. We were both in college. She was in college in New York City, and I was at Princeton. I went back and forth. And anyway, whether he was just a lawyer, Wall Street lawyer, whether he was a presidential candidate, whether he's president of the United States or a former president, this was a great man, period, and history will show that.
Well, there certainly are things he did that were commendable, no question about it. Well, Ed Cox, we're done, and I appreciate your doing the show with us. I hope you'll come back and keep on talking to us. It's just great to have you.
It's always a pleasure to have these conversations with you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.